58.
When I turned 100, they kicked me out of the nursing home. Said they needed the room for less healthy folks. I thought about complaining, but it just didn't feel like it was worth the effort. I didn't really know any of the other folks there enough to want to spend time talking with them, and the orderlies kept interrupting my movies to check on me. The government had started assigning automated elder care apartments by then, and I've lived in one ever since.
It was a sorry-looking group of young folks that hobbled after an old man and finally crested the mountaintop to reach the monastery. Even Monk Tim was too worn down to keep talking, though once they came in earshot of the building, he attempted to adopt more monk-like mannerisms. Charles had seriously considered talking to the head monk or abbot or whoever was in charge here about convincing them to have the young man take a vow of silence.
Maybe I can get them all to take one.
It was a happy thought. Charles quickly glanced at his clock, trying to figure out the time he had left in-game before Bert would come to get him. It looked about like 3 weeks, once he figured out what the ratio was.
Enough time to see the grandkids again.
The monastery that came into view was several connected buildings that looked as if they had been cut from the stone of the mountain itself. The unadorned, simple structure looked rough. It looked like the bare minimum of what a building should be. The doorway didn't even have a door in it. An older monk, who looked 60 or so, was instructing a group of maybe 20 young monks out front. They were evenly spaced out in a square. The man would call out single syllables, "Ha!" and the group could answer back a yelled, "Ha!" as they did synchronic high kicks. The only other thing to see was a well to the right of the building. All in all, the monastery didn't look impressive at all to Charles, especially because he had hoped it would be quieter. Monk Tim took to walking in front of the group and, with one hand, gestured for them to follow him. Red Baron pointed out the practicing monks to Mike and asked,
"You want to get in on that?"
Mike just shook his head.
"No way, man. Not me."
They found passing through the doorway led to a large square room with a low ceiling. There, Monk Tim led them around the sitting figures of several monks, all in a circle facing each other. A brazier burned incense in thick, cloying clouds, as they all hummed the same tone, all except for one female monk who appeared to be tone-deaf, a fact that caused some small aggravation to the monks on either side of her. As they kept going, the next room seemed to be a cafeteria. Several ovens lined the wall on the right, and gruel simmered in large pots over small fires. Wooden bowls were stacked in one corner, and a straw broom leaned against the other. There were no tables or chairs anywhere to be seen, though there was space available for them. It didn't seem anyone was watching the food cook, as there was literally nothing else in the room except a window cut out from the wall. They followed quietly through several more rooms, one stacked with spare robes and a crate full of rope sandals, one a medical room with several mats of bandaged monks, and another with a disarray of shelves, all stocked with some kind of grain. They ended the unintentional tour in a final room that housed a large man sitting in a lotus position on a reed mat in the center of the room. Charles couldn't make out the man's age, but he seemed 50 or 60.
"Thank you, Brother Tim. You may leave us,"
the man said with his eyes closed.
"I wanted to thank you, Elder, for your generosity. Without you purchasing the land, we would have had to find a new home. It is a blessing you've aided us. I will guide you to your new building core whenever you are ready."
Brother Tim bowed and backed out of the room while the group stood around awkwardly waiting for the man to finish speaking. Charles didn't mind, though. They were being quiet, so it was an improvement. Eventually, the wait became too much for the young folks, and Red Baron tugged lightly on Charles's sleeve.
"Mr. Charles, I think we got you where you need to go, right?" he whispered.
"Yep,"
Charles answered. After saying that one word, Red Baron, Python Mike, and the two twins all looked excited.
Yes, Mike squealed. Look at those rewards.
Shh, Red Baron shushed him. Come on, let's get out of here.
You don't want to stick around to see...
Mike started, only for Red Baron to shush him again.
Dude, seriously? How many escort quests are you willing to do?
Mike nodded sagely, as if Red Baron had just spoken the wisest words in the world. Charles ignored them as they also backed out of the room. The echoes of their steps and murmured conversation followed them away. This left the room with only Charles, a monk, a banshee, and a tiger. Charles watched the monk for a few minutes until he realized something odd. The closed eyes, the rhythmic breathing, the tiny bit of drool on his chin.
This fellow was sleeping. Hey, wake up!
Charles said loudly.
Huh? What's... Oh!
The monk donned a peaceful smile as he saw Charles.
Welcome,
he said, as his eyes seemed to be closing in happiness. Charles watched as the man fell right back to sleep before he started muttering his complaints.
This is turning out to be a long day.